If you'll please join me in opening your Bible to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 15. 2 Kings, chapter 15. And again, tonight as we continue our study through this book, our text will be verses 32 through 38. And if you're accustomed to taking notes, I would just give you this insight. What we're looking at tonight in 2 Kings, the cross-reference, the parallel passage, is 2 Chronicles 27, verses 1 through 9. And we will be referring to those verses later, but just in case you want to do your own personal study, those are the texts. 2 Kings chapter 15, and let's begin by reading verses 32 through 38. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit, the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still in the high places. He built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? In those days the Lord began to send against Judah Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah. And Jotham slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. And Ahaz, his son, reigned in his stead. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this good Lord's Day that we've had together, the many blessings that we've enjoyed, and just being able to feast, Lord, like few people in this world are able to do. We just thank you for your bounty in our lives and your blessings on our church family. Thank you for the opportunity to get to come to church tonight, to worship you, to fellowship with your people, and now even to once again open your word and study it and to learn of you. Thank you for these blessings. Lord, we pray not only to give you thanks for these things, but also to just acknowledge our dependence on you and ask, Lord, in faith for the help, the enabling of your Spirit. I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would enable me to communicate your word clearly tonight in a way that would be easy to receive and easy to respond to. Pray that you would help us, Lord, to receive your word with all readiness of mind. Please give us help tonight through your word. May you be honored by all that we say and do throughout the remainder of this Lord's day. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, because he is worthy. Amen. We've often repeated this thought that it's not necessarily personal experience that is the best teacher, but perhaps others' personal experience is the best teacher. That is, we should positively learn from the positive examples and experiences of others so that we can emulate their examples, follow in their steps, and be blessed accordingly. At the same time, negatively, we ought to learn from others' experiences, their examples, so that we don't repeat the same mistakes that they did. And at the same time, we need to be very careful that we avoid falling into the opposite side of the ditch or the opposite ditch of making our own mistakes. Well, these principles that we've mentioned here are all illustrated in the life of the man that we're going to study tonight. His name is Jotham. He is the son of Uzziah, king of Judah. And tonight for our message, we're going to explore this topic together, like father, like son. Or, if you prefer, the apple not far from the tree. And I think most of us understand what is implied in that statement. But tonight we're going to see how this man Jotham learned from his father's example. And he would follow in his father's positive example. He would learn from his father's failures and not repeat those mistakes, but at the same time, we're going to see how he had his own share of failures. And probably every one of us would fit into each of these categories to one degree or another. We want to learn from the positive examples, follow those, avoid the negative, but unfortunately, we're going to make our own share of mistakes too. and we want to try and limit those as much as possible by the grace of God. So we're going to learn about Jotham tonight and how he was like his father. It's interesting to note Jotham's name means Jehovah is perfect. Jehovah is perfect. And really, Jotham's example in emulating his earthly father, Uzziah, reminds us as God's children how we ought to emulate our heavenly Father who truly is perfect. None of us has a perfect example in an earthly father or mother or grandmother. If you say, well, mine was, I'd say, that's wonderful if you feel that way. But really, the only perfect father is our heavenly Father. And we ought to seek to emulate him. Matthew 5:48, Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And if we're God's son, we certainly want to learn of him and walk in his ways. So tonight, let's examine three main ideas seen in our text relating to the reign and life of this man, Jotham, the king of Judah. We'll note, first of all, the consummation of his reign, or where it began. Secondly, the contribution of Jotham's reign. What were some of the things that he contributed positively to his nation? And then we'll finish with the conclusion of Jotham's reign, how it all wrapped up when his life was over. So let's begin with this thought, the consummation of Jotham's reign, verse 32. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Judah, began Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. Now we know that Jotham's father, Uzziah, in the latter part of his reign was struck with leprosy. As a result of that, he lived basically in confinement or quarantined. Because of that, scholars tell us that this man, Jotham, served as co-regent with his father for a period of about 10 years. So 10 years, he's somewhat acting as king, but his father is still the authority. But after that 10-year period is over, his father Uzziah passes away, and Jotham, now at the age of 25, begins reigning as sole king of Judah. And he's going to reign for a period of 16 years. Now, it's interesting as we read in our text there in verse 33, the last sentence says his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. It's interesting as we studied about the kings that many of the kings of Judah, their mother's names were listed. That was a rare exception among the kings of Israel, but for the kings of Judah, many times their mother's names were listed, and Jotham's mother's name was Jerusha. The name Jerusha means dispossessor or heir. And not only is his mother's name given, but his grandfather's name is given. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. So Jerusha's father, Jerusha's father and Jotham's grandfather was named Zadok. It's an interesting name. Does it sound familiar? It is. It's the very same name of the priest, the high priest that served during the time of David and Saul. We could reverse that. Saul and David being chronologically correct. But many believe that with this name Zadok, that it is very likely that Jerusha's father, Jotham's grandfather, Uzziah's father-in-law, was a priest. Because many times those names that were found in those certain offices tended to stay there. That is, not everybody had the name Zadok. That was a priestly name. And the name Zadok, by the way, means righteous. An interesting thought behind that is, well, we can see why this man Jotham would have a spiritual influence, a positive spiritual influence in his life. His father Uzziah was a godly man. His mother, we believe, would have been a godly woman. And his grandfather very likely served as a priest. So he has some good examples there, a godly heritage. But it also may give us a little bit of insight into what happened with Uzziah. Because if you remember, in Uzziah's latter years, he becomes proud and presumptuous, and he goes into the temple of the Lord, and he presumes to do the work of a priest. And maybe it was because, hey, his father-in-law was a priest, and he thought, you know, he gets very comfortable with this, and maybe he gets a little too comfortable with this, and he intrudes into an office which was forbidden him. It's an interesting thought there. In any case, this is the consummation of Jotham's reign. He's born into a godly family. He has a godly father, Uzziah, a godly mother and grandfather. And so he has good influences on both his father's and mother's side of the family. Secondly, there's the contribution of Jotham's reign. Now, during his reign, Jotham made many valuable contributions to the nation of Judah. And every one of those outward contributions began with his inner character. If you look in verse 34, as we begin describing this man, it says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. So just as his father had done throughout his life, Jotham does right in the sight of the Lord in keeping with all that Uzziah had done. Like father, like son, he follows that positive example. The apple didn't fall too far from the tree in a positive way. Well, like Jotham, you and I should learn from and follow the positive examples set for us by others. Parents, if we have or have had godly parents, grandparents, we ought to follow that example. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." It's a blessing to have those examples. And if you had such an example, continue in that path. Continue following in the right ways of the Lord. Now, we know well that Uzziah faltered spiritually in his latter years. He becomes proud. He's made strong, marvelously helped by the Lord till he's made strong. But when he's made strong, his heart is lifted up, he becomes proud. He enters into the temple of the Lord. He presumes to do the part of the priest, and he is struck down with leprosy. Jotham witnessed this. And not only did Jotham follow and learn from the positive example of his father, but he learned from the negative example of his father. And Jotham, as some interpret, seemed to choose the extreme opposite of what his father had done. Okay, 2 Chronicles 27 and verse 2. "And he," Jotham, "did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did," and there's a colon, and then it says this, "howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord." So his father enters into the temple and presumes to serve or act as a priest. He's wanting to offer sacrifice. He's smitten with leprosy. Jotham witnessed this, and the scriptures tell us that he does not enter into the temple of the Lord. Now, Jotham's not entering the temple, of course, protected him from ever attempting to do the work of a priest. But unfortunately, if that is the correct interpretation, this also would have kept him from being able to worship in the temple. And so Jotham seemingly reacts as David once did. When David saw Uzzah, not Uzziah, but Uzzah, struck dead for touching the ark, do you remember how David responded? He went to the extreme opposite. He says, "Well, I don't want this thing anywhere near me." And so he sends it away. And because of that, he and the nation miss out on God's blessing for 3 months. And it appears in some respects that Jotham does this same thing. He says, "Well, I'm not going to presume to do the office of a priest. So I'm going to stay as far away from that thing as possible. I'm not going into the temple of the Lord." And so he learned from his father's failure, but it seems that he takes the opposite extreme, and he misses out on God's blessing. Now, like Jotham, again, you and I should learn from others' negative examples, and we should stay as far away from temptation as possible. That's a good principle to follow. And yet, we also need to be careful that we don't let any past experience, whether it be others or our own, keep us from being with God's people in God's house. And unfortunately, this kind of thing does happen. There are many sons and daughters who've witnessed their parents get in bad situations, bad experiences in church. And so what do? They take an opposite extreme in responding to that. And now they say, well, my folks got burned in church. They had a bad experience. And what happens? Now the children, the sons, the daughters, grandchildren, they're not even in church. That's not a good response. And instead of being spiritual overcomers and victors, many have become spiritual delinquents with a victim mentality. They've allowed what may be stepping stones to become stumbling blocks. So he's doing right in the sight of the Lord. He's following the example of his father positively. He learns from his father's negative example, but it seems, at least initially, that he takes an opposite extreme in the way he responds, and he doesn't enter the temple of the Lord. Now, the remainder of that verse says this. It says, he entered not, howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. The next sentence says, and the people did yet corruptly. The people did yet corruptly. So, as noted there in the Chronicles, alongside Jotham's example, positive or negative, the people do corruptly. And this shows us perhaps the influence of this man. And it may be that seeing their king not enter the temple of the Lord then influenced the people to live ungodly and wicked lives. Listen, if our leader, if he's not going to enter the temple of the Lord, then we can just live however we want. By the way, parents and grandparents, children sometimes take that approach. If mom and dad won't do this, then I'm going to go the opposite, you know, go take it even further. But there's also this idea. It could be that in spite of Jotham's good example, which he set in not yielding to or even getting near temptation, in spite of that, the people still did wickedly. Jotham says, my father did that. I'm going to stay as far away from that thing as I can. I'm going to avoid temptation, but the people still did wickedly. And again, there is room here for some differences of interpretation or at least application. But the people do wickedly in spite of this man's example. And we see some of this wickedness described in our text in 2 Kings. Verse 34, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit, the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. So though he did right in the sight of the Lord, though he followed the example of Uzziah, the people still did wickedly. They sacrificed, they burned incense still in those high places. But whatever Jotham did, positively or negatively, did not excuse the people from living ungodly lives. And it didn't give them a by or a pass from not living a godly life. And the same is true for us as God's people today. We cannot use the influence of our leaders, even parents or grandparents, as an excuse for our not living a committed life to the Lord or a life of disobedience. A fellow by the name of Thompson said this, the people can contradict the attitudes of their rulers, whether the ruler be the wicked Athaliah or the good Jotham. Say, well, Athaliah's on the throne. She's wicked. Well, you can still do right. Well, Jotham's on the throne. He's a good man. He's doing right. Yeah, and that doesn't give you an excuse to do wrong. You ought to do right as well. Verse 35, the last sentence. He built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. He built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. So one of the contributions that this man Jotham makes is that he builds the higher gate of the house of the Lord. What is the significance of this? Why is it mentioned specifically with not a lot of detail? Well, we need to understand what this high gate was. The high gate was the doorway that led from the palace to the temple and vice versa. In other words, if you lived in the palace and you're going to go to church, if you're going to go to the temple, you'd go through the high gate. And if you're in the temple and you're going to go to the palace, you're going to go through the high gate. Okay, 2 Chronicles 23:20 says that he took the captains of hundreds, the nobles, the governors of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought down the king, this is Josiah, from the house of the Lord, and they came through the high gate into the king's house. So Josiah grows up in the house of the Lord. Finally, Athaliah is slain. Josiah is placed on the throne. He finally gets to get out of the temple. He gets to go home. They held him in church for a long time. Okay, I'll try not to keep you that long tonight. But anyhow, yeah, so they're going to take him from the temple to the palace, and they go through the high gate. This is the connection between the king's house and the Lord's house. This gives us some insight and helps us to interpret actually what's going on in Jotham's life. It's very likely that during the years when the high gate was not being used by Uzziah to go from the palace into the house of the Lord, this high gate fell into disrepair. Okay, Uzziah, because he was smitten with leprosy, he could not go into the temple of the Lord, period. Because of that, he's not going through that gate. The hinges get rusty. The gate, falls into disrepair. And so now Jotham, though not presuming to do the office of a priest, actually repairs, rebuilds the high gate that is the door to the temple. And by repairing this door, Jotham was actually preparing his ways to have free and easy access to God's house, the temple. And this fits well with what's recorded later of Jotham in that text in 2 Chronicles. It says in verse 3, he built the high gate of the house of the Lord, and on the wall of Ophel he built much. He built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. He fought also with the kings of the Amorites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second year and the third. And it says this, so Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. So, as further described there in the Chronicles, among Jotham's contributions to Judah, or that he strengthened the nation's defenses, he helped them fight and overcome their longstanding enemies, the Ammonites. He forces them to pay tribute. He forces them to pay for 2 consecutive years 100 talents of silver, and added to that, there were loads of wheat and barley. And in that, many see a fulfillment of something that took place years earlier during the reign of Uzziah. When he becomes leprous, it's very likely that the Ammonites stopped paying tribute to Israel. Now Jotham comes along and he defeats the Ammonites. He makes them pay this tribute of 100 talents of silver. In chapter 25 and verse 6 of 2 Chronicles, Amaziah, if you remember, had hired 100,000 mighty men out of Israel to go and fight to help in a battle. A man of God comes along and says, hey, don't include them in your fighting force. God's going to fight against you and you'll lose. And so he says, all right, we'll dismiss them. They'll not be able to continue. But he asked this man of God, he says, what are we going to do for the 100 talents of silver? I mean, we're losing money here by sending these people away. And that man of God said this, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And he didn't necessarily do it during Amaziah's lifetime, but he did it during Jotham's lifetime. And he gets this 100 talents of silver twice over, and on top of that, wheat and barley. And there's an encouraging lesson there. God is able to restore over and above whatever we may lose by cutting ties with ungodly and worldly alliances. And they cut it off. They send the northern Israeli soldiers away, but God gives it back. And Would that our leaders would acknowledge that, and we in our own lives, we cannot profit from ungodly, wicked alliances. Now, as noted in the Chronicles, the source of Jotham's strength, his success, why he was able to succeed in overcoming the Ammonites, why he was able to strengthen the nation, all of it was attributed to this. In 2 Chronicles 27:6 says, "So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God." Jotham took practical steps, repairing the doorway from his house to the Lord's house so that he could seek a closer walk with God. And this would help us to understand a little bit of what it said, that he entered not into the temple of the Lord. It seems then that the idea was that he did not enter there as to do the work of a priest. But he does repair the gate to the Lord so that he has access to God's house. He's preparing his way before God. He's taking practical steps to seek a closer walk with God. Jotham did not leave to mere chance his life of devotion to God. He prepared his ways. That word prepared is also translated in our Bible to establish, to make ready or to get ready, to provide, to fix, to set, to direct, to order, to fashion, to make certain, or to confirm. All those ideas tell us that this man was serious about walking with God. And so he seeks the Lord. He becomes mighty. And unlike his father Uzziah, when Jotham's heart, or when he becomes strong, his heart is not lifted up in pride. He's made mighty. In Uzziah's case, it says, so he became strong, but when his heart was made strong, it was lifted up, became proud. But Jotham learns from his father's mistake. He's not lifted up with the pride because he doesn't forget the source of his strength. So what can we learn then from Jotham's example? Well, Jotham became strong because he was helped by the Lord. And he was helped by the Lord because he prepared his ways before the Lord. Spiritual strength, spiritual success are not accidental. Say, I want God's help. I want God's strength in my life. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens when we as God's people prepare our ways before the Lord. And part of preparing our ways before the Lord is making sure that the doorway between our house and God's house is in good repair. If you want to make it just really practical, it means that we're faithful to God's house. You want God to bless your life? One of the basic things is just being with His people. He said, when two or three are gathered together in my name, that's not necessarily applied to some, you know, sitting around a campfire, but when we gather in His name with His authority, He says, I'm there in the midst. He walks in the midst of the churches. We need to make sure that the high gate in our lives is in good repair so that we can have free and easy access to God's house. We need to prepare the way for the Lord in our lives by removing stumbling blocks, anything that might hinder us from walking with Him. So I ask you tonight, are you preparing your ways before the Lord? Is the doorway between your house and God's house in good repair? Finally, there's the conclusion of Jotham's reign. It's seen in verses 36 through 38 of our text. But during Jotham's reign, he not only fights against the Ammonites, but as we read here in our text, he also had to deal with the growing wicked influence of northern Israel. And he also began to feel pressure from an evil confederacy between Israel and Syria. And this is going to become a major issue during the reign of Ahaz, Jotham's son. God willing, we'll see that in a later message, and I think we'll find a very interesting connection between that and, well, this season of Christmas. But the Lord sends these enemies against Judah, in part, as we'll see, to chastise them because of their sin. But as it applied to this man, Jotham, the Lord allows him to face some opposition so that he would believe and trust the Lord. God sends obstacles. He allows obstacles and opposition in our lives, not to make us victims, not to cause us to quit, but He wants to teach us to be overcomers. And He does this for Jotham. But again, as we read in our text, after reigning for 16 years, Jotham's reign concludes. He dies, and he is buried with his forefathers at Jerusalem. Alexander McLaren puts this bookend on our study tonight. He said, "The rest that we hear of Jotham in Chronicles is a mere sketch of campaigns, buildings, and victories. And then he and his reign are summed up in the words of the text, which is the analysis of the man and the disclosure of the secret of his prosperity. He prepared his ways before the Lord, his God." The secret of true strength lies in the continued recognition that life is lived before the Lord, our God. And there is a side note to be made there. He learned from his father's example, and he made his relationship with God personal. It wasn't just Uzziah's God, but it was the Lord, his God, Jotham's God. Let's learn from Jotham's example. Let's learn from others' examples and experiences, both positive and negative. And let's prepare our ways before the Lord to walk with him, to be faithful to his house, to receive his strength and blessing. Lord, thank you for giving us the good example of this man, Jotham. Thank you for someone who was willing to learn and be taught, to learn from the examples of others, the instruction of others, and Lord, a man who prepared his ways to walk with you and was blessed as a result and made great contributions to your people Israel, specifically Judah. I pray that you'd help us to follow in that man's good example of faith. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, I ask you this question, first of all, is God your Father? Can you say, "The Lord, my God," because you've received His Son, Jesus Christ, and confessed Him as your Lord? If you're here tonight and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, I would invite you right now to just open your heart to the Lord, be honest with Him, and invite Him into your life to save your soul. Christian, are you learning from the examples and the experiences of others? Positive. Are you following the positive examples that are there? Are you learning from the negative ones, not repeating the same mistakes, and also being careful not to fall into ditches on the other side of the road? Are you learning and being wise? And are you preparing your ways before the Lord? Will you make certain that the high gate, the door between your house and God's house, always stays in good repair? It ought never to be rusty. It ought not to creak. It ought to open freely. We ought to be faithful to be with God's house, or be in God's house worshiping Him with His people. And finally, are you becoming more like your Heavenly Father? If He is your Father, He is perfect. And He's taught us in His Word how He wants us to live and how to become more like His Son. Lord, take these truths that we've considered tonight and bring them to our remembrance in the days ahead. May it make a difference in the way we think and the way we live. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.